Oh, baby. Man, being on a winning streak, this would have been so much better to do.
Oh, man.
Imagine if we were still on a losing streak and we had to do a show today.
Let's go long right now. Let's go long.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go.
What's
up, fellas?
The number one DMVR podcast. The number one. Many people are saying.
Oh, that's
many
cool.
Many people are saying.
Is it close?
I like it.
Presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DMVR. Gamble along with us. Right now, they have all kinds of crazy. I keep getting a free bet every day. Do you know why?
Because you keep losing?
Because I keep losing my first
no
bet.
No sweat, though. No sweat.
That's why
it's called customer retention.
That's exactly why. You know what? You didn't really lose. Thank you very much. Yeah. I actually counted as a win. Oh, no. Killer Monitor is once again lost.
Oh, we're back.
Monitor is once again back.
We're back,
we might
dude.
Have a rocky show for you. A little technical difficulties. We're going to talk about some topics around the association that are kind of funny, guys. We're going to get into that.
Love it.
But then we're going to spend a lot of time. I know this sounds like a trolley question, but it actually is a serious one when we just talk about the stakes. Most to gain, most to lose going into this playoffs. And is Nikola Jokic, is he at the top of that list? He very well might be. We're gonna have a little fun with that while also analyzing everything. To help me do that, I've got a man who's not afraid to wear a pink sweater, Harrison Lind.
Yeah, what do you guys think of the pink sweater?
From a distance, you look naked.
I don't know about
okay.
that.
Okay.
I wouldn't
vote.
Say that's
what
your
do you
skin
think?
Tone. Is that H&M? Is that H&M?
I don't know. I don't think. I think it might be J. Crew.
Okay. It's nice, dude. I like it.
Don't you think, Kale, he looks a little like it looks skin colored a little bit?
I'm not touching this one.
Okay.
Jesus, Kale. Okay.
And then over there, it's Brendan Vogt.
I was waiting for a comment about my dress. I guess I did it right today, guys. Nothing, no insults. I'm ready to go. Let's go.
All right. There you go. Do you guys have any thoughts about this game from yesterday? Now that you know, sit, rewatch, bake, let it bake in a little
after
bit.
After I talked about it for an hour.
Yeah. And sometimes you do, though. You
and wrote
I mean.
About it.
Yeah. Nikola Jokic had a pretty good defensive second half.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I put a nice little compilation out on Twitter. It, I think it filtered over into the eastern part of the country a little bit.
Did you get some replies?
Yeah, just,
Embiid
I mean,
does this every night.
It was one of those where you just throw it out there on Twitter, and yeah. then you quickly mute the conversation.
Right.
Great feature that Twitter has.
That's literally me with every Jokic tweet now.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
you got
people.
It.
I'm not replying. I'm
you
just
got
like,
it's yeah. gotten to the point in the season where you just have to.
You just have to.
But no, check that out if you want. He was really good defensively in the second half, in pick and roll, getting steals. He had 3 steals last night. Did you know Nikola Jokic is 6th in the NBA in deflections?
It's pretty lit.
6th in the pretty entire lit. NBA. He's tied with Bam Adebayo for the most steals among centers this season.
Does a kick count as a deflection?
No.
No. Are we sure?
Because if it does, he is running away.
I just want to find a way to make
no, this. No, if it doesn't, he's running away with it.
I got to say, like, man, I'm not calling up my guy. I love Zach Lowe. You know, he's a great analyst.
Yeah.
I've never disagreed with him on a single thing more than the kickball thing.
I know. Come
and
on, Zach.
Because he hates the kickball. I think he's like, it's not a basketball play. Well, first of all, it's not in the top 100 non-basketball plays that are
we've got a lot to
exploited.
Clean up before we get to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, before we get to the kicked ball phenomenon.
Yeah.
But he really hates it. And I got to say, I wonder if he changes his mind going forward. Because, you know, he's so powerful, Zach Lowe is. It's not a coincidence that after he's kind of moved away from the Jokic thing, the odds have changed. He's that powerful. But he went in on the
powerful.
Kickball thing. And now all of a sudden it's a talking point that everybody has a take on. Have you noticed?
Yes. Here's my take on the kickball. If everybody could do it, everybody would.
Ah, I love this is the right take.
Yes.
You're so good at this, Wind. Holy shit.
If everybody
He's
could
so
kick
this.
Balls the way Nikola Jokic does, everybody would do it to break up every pick and roll. Nobody can do it like he does, though.
It's one of the most Serbian things he does, so though, perfect. Actually.
Yeah.
It's like the defense is so disadvantaged as it is by so many rules. You know what's one advantage they have? It's not that hefty a penalty to just kick the ball. Jokic is going to take that as long as it's there, as long as it's built into the rules.
I'd also say it is a basketball play. This is the thing that's weird about it is why is it not? Like to be able to like get into a passing lane or getting into a zone or something. It actually is not definitive. It's not an like when I think of things that are not basketball plays, jumping sideways into a shot, ripping my arm sideways. Like, I never go into a shooting motion like this.
Yeah.
You know, nobody does it. Those are not basketball moves. A kick is, like, actually kind of a basketball move. There's a pocket there. I'm trying to make myself as big as possible in the window. And if it so happens to be my foot that gets it, it works. Anyway, we could go into this for
but
forever.
To finish my point, 6th in total deflections, first among centers by a mile. and tied with Bam Adebayo for the most steals among centers this season. And all three of his steals last night, this is the underrated part about Jokic's like defense. His steals, all three of them last night led directly into Nuggets baskets. You know, sometimes if you block a shot at the rim, the ball goes out of bounds, you give it back to the other team.
100%. Most of the time, to be honest.
Jokic's steals usually lead to Nuggets transition opportunities, which usually lead to baskets.
Should we just clear out and let Wynn cook today?
Yeah, he's on fire. I don't even want to touch this.
This is like a little Porter quarter. We're just
Wow. Murray Flurry to start.
I'll sit out segment three then.
he's just going to take the second.
Got to bench him. Yeah. He's on fire.
Do you have any other updated thoughts or notes?
The starters are awesome. Second, third quarter in a row where we saw the seriousness. You know, maybe you want to call it urgency, focus, whatever your sort of buzzword is. Second, third quarter in a row where they said, and Malone too with that rotation, all right, enough's enough with the BS. We're separating here. This is a decision on our end. Obviously, it starts with Jokic. But that's, I know it's the Wizards, but it's the second, third quarter in a row that made me go, yeah, they haven't forgotten how to do this.
I think you raised an interesting point, though, that so we didn't know this, but after the game, Mike Singer filed a report. He was there in Washington that Jamal Murray spoke up at halftime and was like, come on, guys, what is this effort we're giving?
Yeah.
And then perhaps no coincidence, the effort in the third quarter was phenomenal. The Nuggets won that quarter by 20 points.
Right.
If you were to pick one player whose effort most went up in that third quarter, it would be Nikola Jokic. And I think that Jokic has played very well over the slump that the Nuggets went through and everything else. He has two 30-point triple-doubles, another like 28-point triple-double. He has some very big offensive numbers. His defense has completely disappeared over the last 3 weeks from what was already inconsistent effort
right.
to where it was like, nope, it's pretty consistently no effort, whatever. And I think the first half, I don't know if Murray called out Jokic specifically, but or he called out the team collectively, but I do think that Jokic received the message loudest and clear. And I like that. I like to imagine a dynamic where Jamal Murray rallied. And first of all, he's not always good defensively either. But so he's calling himself out too, I think.
Sure, of course.
But I like the idea where he can speak up and say something like that and Jokic can respond. We think of Jokic as the top of the pyramid, but I like that somebody else can challenge him. And kudos to Murray for doing that.
It was responsible from the best players in a get-right game. Responsible. There's an obligation to approach that game the right way with how this month has gone. And both of them, from Murray stepping up vocally and on the floor to Jokic being an A++ guy in the third quarter, that's the taking care of business stuff that was sorely lacking for a little bit there. Yeah.
Let's go a little around the association here and talk about some news and notes very quickly, you guys. I don't know if you guys watched Dallas versus the Warriors. Was that last night or the night before? I think it was last night, right? Warriors-Dallas... Warriors-Dallas.
Was it during the Nuggets game?
I might think it was during it, so you probably didn't watch it. But maybe you saw this on the interwebs. With about 2 minutes to go, I think a little bit less than that, a minute and a half, ball goes out of bounds, referee signals, ball. Mavs walk to their bench for a timeout.
The Warriors, yeah.
During that, the referee says, actually, no, Warriors ball. But the Mavs claim they were not made aware that the ball had changed possessions. They were not made aware. So when they come out of the huddle, they just drew up a play for the offensive end of the game. Again, this is crunch time. This is clutch time. They draw up a play, and they come out on the other side of the court, which is a little confusing, and the Warriors inbound the ball, score uncontested. No Mavericks players within 40 feet of the ball. Score uncontested to go up two. And what do you know? That game ended with the Warriors winning by two. So very consequential point. People are calling. Mark Cuban is challenging this. He is protesting the game, which has big stakes for him if they lose, and obviously big stakes if they win. People are calling this the Cuban whistle crisis.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Cuban whistle crisis.
Pretty good.
That's too good. And honest with you, it's a perfect description of what I would call this going. But here's what's crazy. Not only did that game, and this has happened, by the way, I think it happened to the Mavs. I think Cuban is the one that protests the most calls. Do you remember this from like 12 years ago when they had the free play? Like 30 seconds of a game?
Yeah, I think I do.
I think Shaq was in the court for some reason.
It was a long time ago.
It was a really long time ago that a game actually had to be replayed the final 30 seconds. Well, here's why this is big. That game had implications in the standings. I mean, everybody's so close right now. Warriors and Mavs are separated by one game, 1.5 games. So that one literally can flip whether or not you make the playoffs or whether or not you make the play-in. Just that one. And it obviously flipped the score there. So here's what's crazy. If they win this protest...
They're not going to win the protest.
Do they not have a case based on what I said?
They do, but they're not going to win it.
Can you imagine if the Nuggets lost a game because they had no idea the other team got to inbound and the other team scored a layup on the inbound? We would be furious.
Definitely, definitely. What's weird about what happened, though, is why were all the Dallas players just standing at midcourt?
I mean, here's the
thing. Why weren't they going to inbound the ball?
Doesn't a ref have an obligation to look around and be like, those guys seem confused? He does.
The refs totally mix it up. The refs definitely thought the Warriors were going the other way. That's definitely what happened.
That's like too embarrassing.
I think you're right.
That's definitely what the refs were thinking. Like Dallas was on that side. The Warriors were.
Dallas might have also thought that, to be honest.
I think everybody just got confused. I really do. Like, why wasn't Dallas going to inbound the ball if they had just drawn up a play?
You are right, though. Like, the spirit of the involvement of a referee, it so often manifests in the worst ways. And this is one that's like, no, this is actually your job. You should actually step out on the floor and go, hey, guys, everyone has this wrong.
Yeah.
This is a professional basketball game. And, yeah, I thought... I would be livid, but I also think Wind is right that they're not winning this.
I think they should win it, and I hope that they do, in part because... Can you envision a scenario whereby the final week of the season, perhaps after the season has already ended, we don't know what the standings are until Dallas flies back to Golden State, or Golden State flies back to Dallas and plays the final 90 seconds, and that will determine all of the standings in the Western Conference. Yeah. Can you envision a game 90 seconds long that would have better ratings than that?
Man, let's just throw out the play-in tournament and just... have that.
Can you imagine if Dallas is either the 6th seed or the 8th seed based on whether the 90 seconds and they all have to fly into Dallas and play this one game for 90 seconds.
Steph, of course, 9 points in 40 seconds.
To me, this is the best scenario possible.
It is the best scenario. It would be incredible. There's a 0% chance this happens.
I don't think it's zero. But
I think it's zero.
I think it's one.
There's no way.
We'll go 0.5.
No way.
Let's go to some other headlines here, boys. I don't know if you saw, but earlier today there were reports that the Los Angeles Lakers have announced that LeBron James is going to be evaluated.
Mm.
Sources say he will be evaluated today and, you know, maybe back on the court here in just a little bit. That comes from the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, that's
trusted source. Sounds like verified source. On Twitter.
And you know it comes from the Lakers in part because... everybody cites the Lakers as the source.
Lakers.
You know, whenever a thing comes out about the Lakers, like 1,000 people tweet it out as if they got the intel.
Get the PR email, copy paste, boom.
Put it out there. And everybody uses the same language. Lakers source, Lakers say, whatever. LeBron James updates. He says, there wasn't an evaluation today, and there hasn't been any target date for my return. I'm just working around the clock every day. (3 times a day)
Wow.
To give myself the best chance of coming back full strength whenever that is. God bless y'all sources. I speak for myself. Hit face palm emoji. Guys, this shit show is unbelievable. I can't believe LeBron is counteracting, say, don't trust any sources, including the team. I'm the source of my own updates.
Well, he has to be able... to play all sides here, take every path at once.
That's so true.
If it makes sense for him to come back,
of course.
He's coming back. If it doesn't make any sense for him to come back, if there's a chance he cannot be on the floor when they're eliminated from the playoffs, that also makes a lot of sense. So why pick a direction when you can simply dispute the sourcing from your own organization?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, if the Lakers are in position to get into the play-in late in the season and they need a win or two to get in there, he's going to be on the court. If it looks like they're going to be out of it, he's not coming back.
Right.
I think it's as simple as that.
I mean, it does seem like it is as simple as that.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that we're getting these mixed reports from players. I will say this. There is a lot of like players now want to be the source of their own information or this or that, and they want to be out there. And LeBron, the biggest star in the game, you know, so it's understandable. Things like injuries, though, is that a healthy thing? That, like, already how frustrated are we by teams not revealing, like, I don't know if this guy's hurt or whatever. But then we take it another layer where the players get to control how that information is is released?
Well, I think we're kind of already there because, I mean, I think certain players control what is released through the team. Like, I'm surprised the Lakers released that.
Right.
Like, to be honest, you would think they would have cleared that with LeBron.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Putting that out there.
But I also think there's just something weird to, like, imagine waking up and now there's a timeline on your injury that you're not definitive on, you know? Mm-hmm. You've talked to some people, sure, but this conversation is happening without you. It's really weird. That said, I also remember, I think it was Isaiah Thomas, who was with the Cavs. It was Shams, put out a timeline that he would be back in January or February, and IT was livid. He was like, who's your source? Where'd you get this? Where does this come from? Does anyone want to guess when IT returned? It was the exact time frame that Shams had put out. So I see both sides of this.
I think something similar happened when Towns came back last night, and Chris Finch was like on the radio in Minnesota like on Tuesday and was asked about like Towns coming back, and he was said something like, nah, I don't think so. And like Shams reported that he was. Sure enough, he came back.
I'll tell you though, I think some of this, I don't know about the LeBron situation, I don't know about the Towns one specifically, but some of this is, I think part of why teams are so tight-lipped is because the power in the NBA on those such things used to be consolidated, and now they are so wide that I think there's a lot of like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. A team had the authority, a PR director had the authority to determine where it was. Now it's like, I'm not sure. Like the agent said he's doing the special, and I'm not sure if I can say.
Well, that. I think teams just, they play it safe as the default because they just don't know what the player is going to say or do.
Anyway, we're not sure if AG or Murray are hurt, and we probably never will for various reasons. The last one here, Phoenix Suns lost last night to the LA Lakers. We watched that game. If you were watching, you might have noticed that the Lakers took a lot of free throws. Austin Reeves, really foul merchant, said he studied Trae Young and James Harden, which is the most annoying sentence you've ever.
Literally the worst quote of all time.
The worst quote of like, I really studied them and how they draw fouls, I'm great at doing this.
Right, cool.
Very annoying. They shot 20 more free throws than the Phoenix Suns. You guys laugh. I brought it up a million times. I'm worried of playing the Lakers in the playoffs. Not because I don't think the Nuggets are good enough to get it done, but because I know the Nuggets are going to have a 20 free throw disparity in most games, and that Nikola Jokic is going to be the recipient of a lot of BS foul calls. I've brought it up before. Jokic has only had 3 fouls twice in the playoffs in the first half, which means foul trouble, right? Had to exit the game in the first half because of foul trouble. You go to the end of the game, there's been games where he's fouled a lot at the end and gotten 5, but those don't count. In foul trouble and had to limit his minutes. Only happened twice, both times against the Lakers. I watch this one and I just go shake my head. 46 free throw attempts. Lakers hanging by a thread. Desperate. Mm-hmm. Must get the win game, huh? Playing against a team that's actually kind of good in the Suns, although they're banged up. I'm sorry, guys. This is the reason that I think the Lakers are so scary. But that being said, I want to play the other side of this. Phoenix Suns are such whiners.
Let's play both sides, baby.
I can't decide which side I want to take on this one. Which side should I take there, vote?
I think you were right the first time. Second one's always a fun path.
It is so fun, though.
And it's
always
tempting.
There's something to the second one.
I mean, they're a little whiners.
It's always right there, you know what I
mean? We're going to be such whiners if that series happens.
They're like, I don't know, man. Was it the refs or that we had COVID? And we can't. It's hard to say. So much worked against us.
COVID.
I know. I just love the same thing. I think you were right the first time, though. I do think... Look, I don't want to just... We do this show every day. I don't want to talk about the refs every day. It's so boring. The Lakers get a friendly whistle.
Austin freaking Reeves.
The Lakers get a friendly whistle. When their backs are up against the wall, they get a friendly whistle. Yeah. I do feel that way. So, I think that's the right reason to fear them. I do want to, like, insist on everything around that. I just think the Nuggets are a better team. I think they're the one seed for a reason.
Are they if Jokic's not on the court?
Well, no.
This is my only thing, man. I'm just saying.
I get it.
They got 3 guys that shoot like way more free throws than Jokic does.
Here's a stat for you. Since January 1st, Austin Reeves is averaging more free throws per game than Nikola Jokic.
Well, clearly he's in the paint more. I mean, he's just because he's always in the paint, right? Like
he's just been locked in a room studying James Harden.
His arms are like sliced up, though, Austin Reeves, right? Like famously, he's always bleeding on every limb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just an interesting stat.
You know what? I'm going to render a final verdict. Both parties are guilty.
Well, you left out the part about Monty Williams like blowing up about the refs in his postgame last night and then walking off the podium.
No more questions.
Yeah, that's all I got to say. Meanwhile, I saw this great tweet like all the calls that Devin Booker actually got last night.
Were they like actually all questionable?
He was getting like Chris Paul calls.
All I
the whole
say,
game.
All I gotta say, that was cool, but we had some questions. I need the quotes to write my article tonight.
No sport talks about how effed up their league is more than the NBA. Yeah, it's so effed up. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to start looking at every team and talking about who on the team has pressure. Does the team collectively have pressure? And then we're going to pit them against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets and say, does he have more pressure than those guys?
DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the code DNVR when you sign up and download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. They've got the NBA No Sweat same game parlay going on right now. Apparently, they also just flood your inbox with free bets, odds boosts, promotions, especially when you lose bets. So hit up the DraftKings Sportsbook app, download the app, use the code DNVR when you sign up. The NBA No Sweat Same Game Parlay. Put together a parlay for Nuggets Bucks on Saturday. Jokic points, probably. Jokic rebounds, definitely. Michael Porter Jr. threes, you know, play the hits. If you hit it, great. If you don't hit it, no worries. You can run it back with another same game parlay for that next Nuggets game. So make sure to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up with code DNVR. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. That's with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, shout out to our friends at Jive Hive, jivehive.com. Go to their website, schedule a delivery. Jive Hive is a virtual dispensary on wheels. You can scan that QR code right there on the screen. Takes you right to Jive Hive. They serve a bunch of areas throughout Colorado. Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument Fountain, various areas of El Paso County as well. Jivehive.com, J-I-V-E-H-Y-V-E.com. You can schedule a delivery. They are super convenient, great pricing. It's private and secure. Jive5.com.
Jive5.com.
Don't drive.
All right, real quick, can we pull up the party bus for this weekend? Ooh, Saturday's game. We still have like 14 tickets left or something, somewhere roughly around there. It's just $20. You get a ticket on the party bus from the DNVR bar to the game and then back afterwards, riding back with all the fellas. Look, this is a great way to meet people, to have fun, to talk to us, to hang out with us, get to know some fellow Denver Nuggets fans and just have a good time. Also, hop on the show. You get a beer when you ride to the game. You get a beer when you ride back, so you can chug a free beer from Breckenridge Brewery. They are the sponsor of the bus. It's always a good time. We get all kinds of repeat customers for this thing because people that come, they tend to come back and again and again. And like I said, I think we have 14 tickets left on this this final bus. So if you're thinking about it, it's just $20, guys. What are you waiting for? All right. Let's go through the NBA, you guys. And I want us to look at all the different players facing pressure. And we're going to go dunk contest style. You gave us the first through fourth. Here, let's throw those out because it's too confusing. Let's throw out first through fourth, and let's just go five, six, seven, like dunk contest style. And, Kale, you add these up for us. You might have to create a little Google sheet, okay?
Math live on the internet, Kale.
Live on the internet. Pressure
He's a theater major, so.
So remember, five is the lowest. Five is the lowest here. Let's start in the East. Giannis Antetokounmpo. How much pressure does he face? Or actually, here's the real question. Let me phrase it properly. The widest gap between most to gain, most to lose, okay? How much does Giannis have to gain versus how much does he have to lose? Let's go for this one. Reveal.
Five.
I went six, so I went a little bit higher than you guys. Why so low, vote?
I think Giannis is stamped. I mean, I think he wants more, but I don't think in terms of the grander narrative stuff, the legacy talk, I don't think this year much is on the line. I think he got it done. He was dominant in that series. He is, I don't think he's going to win it, but he was, I think, taken more seriously in this MVP discussion again on the other side of that. So I just think, I think people are going to take Giannis and the Bucks as the threat that they are, as long as they're a two or a one seed going forward after that title.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think he has a lot to lose. Like, yeah, he'll get flamed if they go out early.
Yeah.
He'll be the topic of First Take for a week. And then I think people will move on. Like, I think his He is stamped. I think his legacy is pretty much written. Yeah, I just don't think he has a lot to lose.
I don't think he has a lot to lose either, but he does have a lot to gain. So his like spread isn't wide in both directions, but it is in the other direction. And let me just give you one thing he has to lose. It's not a big one, but who's the favorite right now to win the NBA championship?
Is it the Bucks?
The Bucks?
It's the Milwaukee Bucks. They're the favorites. Now, they're not a heavy favorite. They're plus 330, so they're plus value. The field is still more bigger, but they have the best odds. How often when you have the best odds, you know, you don't get that many chances? I mean, I think we all just assume that Giannis has this window that's open for the next 10 years or something, and that's mostly true. But we know that I don't know that he will be favored to win the championship for the next 10 years. He might only be favored three of the next 10 years, even if he has good teams, just because there's always two or three good ones. So I do think that this is a great opportunity for him to stack more. But I'm with you. If they lose, there's not a narrative that he's a loser. He just doesn't go up. Yeah. But the going up part is big. He has one championship. Lots of guys have one championship. We think Giannis is probably an all-time great, like top 20 player all-time, with a chance of maybe being a top 10, maybe even being a top 5. To do that, you got to start winning. And one going to two is a big jump. Two going to three is a big jump. He's got to start going.
If he gets another one, the mountain for Jokic to climb in terms of the best player in the world conversation. You know, like I hate to sound so...
Almost insurmountable.
Yeah, I hate to sound so consequentialist, but that's the game. Like if he wins another title, Jokic is going to have to go get multiple.
You know? The Bucks win it this year and somebody asks you, like, who is the best player in the NBA and you don't answer Giannis, like, you're getting laughed at.
Yeah, for sure.
You're getting laughed at.
So he has a lot, in my opinion, to win. Not a lot to lose other than just opportunity, and you don't ever want to take for granted that, hey, next year maybe Jrue Holiday gets hurt. You know, maybe you end up having a year where something happens and, you know, just weird things happen. This is a year where things have broken right for them in terms of health, in terms of seeding and standing. They should look at this and say, we have a chance. I don't think there's anybody else there that I would say has necessarily a lot of pressure. Like Jrue and Middleton aren't the caliber player that I think carry that kind of pressure. Budenholzer, I don't think carries that kind of
they
pressure.
They all got their one.
They've gotten to the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're in like a 2A or like a role player or anything, you know, or, you know, the second and third stars, you get the one. You're stamped as a Robin now, you know?
All right, we're going to move on to the Boston Celtics here, and I'm going to start with Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum. What kind of pressure is he facing right now?
I'd say six.
We all...
I'm surprised you didn't go 10.
By the way, play along with us in the chat. I want to see where we are. All right, vote. Wait, he's got an 8, maybe.
Well, it depends on how you look at it, because... As I pointed out in the past, you know, this Celtics team, that feared dark green curtain, they still haven't won, you know? They still have not won. So if they don't win this year, I think that conversation about can the two Jays get it done next to each other as the two best players, I think that thing picks up a lot of steam. Now,
well, hold on. Can I just play off of that real quick?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys... I listen to too much basketball Illuminati, but sorry, this is why I'm talking like this. I don't know if you guys read the reports on Jason Tatum and some of the things he says.
I do.
You know, he's really talking a lot about how much he does not like being in Boston because of the racism. It's a
real thing.
Or Jaylen Brown. Sorry, Jaylen Brown. Which, again, I'm taking him earnestly here. A lot of people have said that about Boston. But it sure feels like Jaylen Brown, who's well connected to rumors about wanting to be in Brooklyn or New York or somewhere else, it sure kind of seems like he's setting the early groundwork for, like, hey, guys, if I leave... I mean, you'd have to applaud me on the way out, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. He is. This is how you lay the groundwork for leaving a team.
Which brings me to my big finish. This Celtics team could fall apart as we know it if they don't win this year. Now, having said that, Tatum may personally not be feeling any pressure about that because his end goal is clearly to end up in Los Angeles at some point.
I don't know why we did this earnestly.
If he doesn't win this year and you put him anywhere near the MVP conversation next year, it's personal.
Fred, he looked right into the camera as he said it.
No one's watching.
Is there anybody else in Boston that you feel has this pressure? I mean, you could say Mazzulla, but I mean, he's like...
People have turned on him.
Yeah, didn't he just sign the extension, though?
Well, I think but...
Didn't he, like, the Celtics were awesome? He signed the extension.
I'm wondering if Brad Stevens is going to pull a Pat Riley and come down and coach the team.
Oh, that'd be great.
But well, he might be the guy that has pressure on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's built a really good team, but...
I know, but eventually...
if Jason Tatum doesn't win, I feel like people are just going to say, oh, he's still 21 years old. You know, he has
17, actually. 17,
he has 19, a long sorry. Runway in front of him. He's still not even close to being in the prime of his career.
I know, but that's crazy because he's been in the NBA for like 14 years.
But he's 21.
I mean? You're right. You're right.
All right. Last one before we'll take a break. Joel Embiid.
Nine. 10.
I almost went 10.
I did too.
Actually, I think you guys are right.
Because you've got to leave room for who else is on this list.
That's my reason I didn't give him a 10. There are outs for Joel Embiid. Every year, it's been somebody else there. Like, I don't think people quite realize how much it's like, well, Ben Simmons, you guys saw what he did. And it's true. Like, Ben Simmons is wilted. And James Harden's new. And, you know, like this or that. I just feel like if they play poorly or if they don't do well, it's likely to fall on other player people that we're going to mention with the 76ers. That being said, I actually think he has a lot of pressure on him. He's never made a conference finals. Never made it out of the second round. He's gotten very close. He's gotten very close. That narrative picked up steam this year, and you heard it a lot when people were talking about, why are we talking about Jokic? He's made a conference finals, not this or that. But I think that really picks up this year. If you don't make it to the conference finals, and then if you don't get over the hump, like they're another team. They're the second best odds, I believe. They just have an opportunity here, so I think it's a 9.
I agree, and I think a take is going to be that, like, is Joel Embiid ever going to have a better shot than this to get out of the East?
Maybe next year in Miami, but yeah.
Philly's got a great team. Like, that's a really good team. It's well-rounded. They can score. They can defend. I think they have some guys that you don't want to trust in a high-leverage playoff situation. But they've got the talent. They're playing really well. They're healthy. I just think they've got all the pieces this year in a way that they haven't in years past. So I just think that's the pressure. Like, everything is set up for them to do it this year.
The other pressure is not his doing. There's a lot of talk about MVPs.
He's going to win it,
and
man.
Second rounds. And Joel Embiid is going to win this MVP.
I think he is.
For it to be, for the narrative around it, which has nothing to do with him playing, to be such a strong reaction to the previous winner, the back-to-back winner, and it to be tied so closely to playoff success. You know, again, we're mostly just talking about the outside noise. But if he does win the MVP, he's got to get out of the second round.
I think he's got a lot of pressure on him. He's got to perform well. But I'll tell you what. I got to tip my hat to him. I think he's playing the best basketball that I have seen him play.
He's really incredible.
I honestly think this has been his apex, and I think that they have a path. I mean, Boston's struggling right now. The other teams in the East are good, but not good enough. I mean, you're looking at that and saying, you know, they have a realistic path. It'll be tough, but they have a realistic path to winning the championship this year, and they think they get it done. James Harden.
Oh, he's chilling, dude.
5?
Yeah. He's got next move lined
not
up.
Not only is he feeling the pressure, but how much pressure are they feeling? All right, we're different here. Ready to reveal?
I don't think he's feeling any pressure.
You guys
pressure.
Don't think he's... Well, I don't know if he's feeling it. You're right. That's a different question.
I don't even
how
know...
How much does he have to gain and lose?
I don't think a whole lot. Like, look, if they go all the way and he wins a championship... He can change the narrative of him just being looked at as a playoff loser, but it's going to be Joel Embiid's team. Like, Joel Embiid is going to be the reason they win a championship. And if they lose, whatever, we'll still think the same way of Harden that we do now.
How much could have changed in Houston? You know what I mean? How much he's still got his spots. That's what I'm thinking. If he loses, the next move is lined up. He's probably pretty pleased with it. Having said that, the way you framed it initially about the two ends of possibilities in the spectrum. There's like a 10 on what's the game.
James Harden is an MVP of this league. He's one of the best scorers we've ever seen, albeit one of the most annoying ways of scoring, but he's one of the best offensive players we've ever seen in this game. And I think he doesn't get a lot of the respect for that, in large part because he's so obnoxious, both on the court and, you know, and just kind of how he like talks about himself. He's one of these guys that's clearly so insecure about his own legacy that he's made himself annoying. But I do think that he gets discounted because of how unlikable he is. He's really good. A title, I think when you get removal from all of this, when you step away from it, you'll start to look at it and go, well, this guy was an MVP who averaged 30, 10, and 8 and shot this and revolutionized the game. And I just think it'll change for him quite a bit. All right, last one, Doc Rivers.
I mean, if he wins, could he be a top 10 coach of all time?
Oh, well, I think he already is, right?
That's the joke.
Oh, God.
I don't even know, man.
You know what?
I'll actually go 8.
You guys all think that it's just Embiid as the pressure.
No, like Doc Rivers. Doc has a lot to gain, like, to be honest.
If you win a championship with two different teams, not very many coaches have done that.
That far apart?
That far apart? Different eras?
Yeah.
Different styles?
Plus, I mean, it's 2023. He's still getting credit for that one Celtics title.
Oh, my God. Imagine how much Doc will bring up the two titles.
Oh, my, goodness gracious.
He'll be a two-time winner that really could have won, like, 15 times. I mean, if you really think about it.
The thing is about the other end of it, like, all right, does he get fired? He gets another job. He's Doc Rivers, you know?
Does he? Yeah, I guess he does.
Yeah, he'll probably coach, like, I don't know.
Someone.
I will say this, man. I was listening to Bomani and Vinny and
maybe the Warriors.
Vinny Goodwill. I was listening to their pod the other day, and they brought this one up that I thought was great. Remember when we used to say LeBron never had any good coaches? Remember early in his career because he had Mike Brown? Well, guess what? Mike Brown might win Coach of the Year. Remember he had Eric Spoelstra, one of the best coaches of a generation. Ty Lue. LeBron might have actually played for three of the best coaches currently.
Who had that take?
With what?
What, that's a ridiculous take.
Which one?
That LeBron never had any good coaches.
There was a time when you looked around because it was like, well, Phil Jackson and, you know, this or that. But because Spoelstra was new, it wasn't clear if he was a good coach. Well, turns out he's actually a phenomenal one. Ty Lue was new. Is he actually a good coach? Yeah, he's a very good coach. And Mike Brown was a horrible coach, like one of the worst coaches ever. It turns out maybe he's not. Maybe he's actually a really good coach. It's just we didn't know it at the time. So my point is LeBron has now played for possibly three different coach of the years. Not during his tenure, but at different points. It's interesting. All right, let's take a break in the Mohawk. This is kind of a hater's ball.
It really is, man. One win against the Wizards and we go crazy.
Breck Brew, the official beer of DNVR. Look, we got the party bus coming up Saturday. You get a beer if you're coming on the party bus. Come to the DNVR bar beforehand. Hop on the party bus. Maybe you'll get a, you know, Mile High City Golden Ale. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Breck Brew, the official beer of DNVR. Check out the Mile High City Golden Ale. There's nothing better than watching a Nuggets game, watching the pod, watching the DNBA show with a Mile High City Golden Ale in hand. So check those out. Check out breckbrew.com. Check out the Breck Brew beer locator to find out where you can get Mile High City Golden Ale closest to you. And like I said, this Saturday coming up, we've got the DNVR party bus. Also on the 27th, we've got a watch party fundraiser for Luis Garcia. If you don't know, Luis Garcia was a student at East High School right here, right down the street. Denver East High School is literally a block away from us at the DNVR bar. He passed away due to gun violence in February last month. Luis was a great kid, hard worker, loved soccer, worked to help his family. There's a GoFundMe that you can donate to. And also on March 27th, on Monday, 10% of all the revenue at the DNVR bar will be donated to Luis's family. So stop by Monday, the 27th, donate to a great cause. There's a link in the description as well to the GoFundMe. So check that out.
And by the way, I've had some people reach out and say, hey, I want to donate, but I'm far away or I can't be there that night. There is a link in the tweet. And I think it'll obviously be in the description of the show. Kel, can you make sure it's there? There's a link there that you can donate as well. So there'll be an opportunity if you can't make it down to the DNVR bar. All right, let's move on back to the show here.
This is fun. Do we have more people to rank?
We do have more people to rank.
I love this.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't think there's anybody there that moves the needle. I mean, they're just so young.
Yeah.
And Donovan Mitchell, you know, this would be, he has a lot to gain. I mean, if they make, if they play the Knicks in round one, they could lose that. I don't think they would lose too much clout individually or collectively. It's just they're young. Yeah. If they win that one and then lose in the second round, that's kind of what everybody expects them to do. Same thing. But if they win that one, if you beat the Bucks and Donovan Mitchell goes off, he does, I think, take a step up in terms of how people view him.
Yeah.
Nobody has taken that. Nonetheless, I don't
think... Is he in the Tatum tier?
No, I don't think he's worth ranking. So I just think... I mean, do you guys... Are we anybody going
to... No, I'm saying, like, if they beat the Bucks, is he, like, in the Jason Tatum tier of NBA player?
Maybe. Honestly, like he
that
might...
That tier.
We can just do a quick reveal. I don't think it's going to get there. Mine's a 6.
Yeah,
I mean, they
I'll
don't
say a 6.
Maybe a 5. I mean, if you said 5, I wouldn't
is
argue it.
Bickerstaff facing any pressure? Probably
no,
not.
No.
He's like that walking timeline. On easy street.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
right.
Why I don't think anything changes for them, narrative or elsewise. The Knicks, I don't know that there's a whole lot there for the Knicks. They could win around.
They're not doing anything. So
Thibodeau's legacy is secure. I mean, unless they win the title, but I mean, that's come on.
is Julius Randle like a tier two, tier one guy? That's the summer discussion if they win a title.
Oh, God.
Brooklyn Nets, same thing. I'm not sure. You'd say with the Brooklyn Nets that Kyrie maybe has like some. Like if Dallas flames out in the play-in and then the Nets make it to the second round or something, you might look at that and be like, oh my God, KD and Kyrie. what are you doing here? But yeah. I just don't think anybody there has anything at stake. Miami Heat?
No.
At stake?
To gain even. Actually, all right, let's do it. I'll just say Jimmy Butler. They're currently guys the 7 seed. And they look pretty comfortable. They might be the 6 seed, but 7 seed. That means they are very, very, very likely to play one of Boston or Philadelphia. Jimmy Butler knocks one of those teams off. If that's all they do.
Oh, man.
I just think we all kind of agree Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat are this like tier 3 team. That's like, oh, they're kind of good. They work hard and they try hard and they play the right way and smart, but they're not good. But they knock one of those teams off. I don't know. Let's do the reveal. Jimmy Butler.
I'll say 6.
All right, so we agree it's not that much. It's not that great.
No, I will start saying he's better than Tatum, though.
You have a lot at stake here. Atlanta Hawks, I don't think so. Actually, you know, let's do Trae Young. They're the 8 seed. How much do they have to gain? Does he have to gain a lose?
This stuff is so unrealistic. It's tough to even think about.
I don't know. Trae Young is having a very down year in terms of like, I feel like everyone's turned on him. No, well, it's revealed that nobody likes coaching him or playing alongside him.
I mean, are you surprised?
No, but I mean, so realistically, we're kind of measuring this against the default setting. What is their default setting? Right now, they're the 8 seeds. They have to, let's just say they lose one play and win the other and they become the 8 seed and they go against the Bucks. Sweep? 4 or 5 games?
That's a sweep.
So there's not a whole lot.
That's
there.
An easy sweep.
And you don't think we're talking about? You think the train has always left the station on Trae Young? That he's just like,
yeah,
kind of.
He's gonna be the guy that was in the Doncic trade, man.
Okay, let's go.
Quinn Snyder's wondering why he took that job.
Let's get to the Western Conference now. Nice. I want to go with the Memphis Grizzlies, and we'll start with Ja Morant.
The Redemption Tour.
The Redemption Tour. I hate everything. Ja Morant, how much pressure is on him?
Redemption is a bit much.
I'm going 7.
I'm going 7.
I was
going
to go 7 or 8.
6. We kind of think the stakes are low for them.
Is the pressure more of a team building thing? Kind of a front office thing?
Is it?
I'm asking. Like with, do you, if they fall short this year, do you go kind of a weird year at the end? I like the direction we're headed in. Or do you say to yourself, we need more firepower? We need another star in Memphis.
Yeah,
I think the narrative, if they flame out, is just, well, we knew this was going to happen. Ja doesn't take his career seriously. Mm. Like, that's the story. And maybe it's right.
Yeah. I don't know that they have a lot to lose just because they're such a young team that if they lost in
they'll
the first
be back,
round,
probably.
They'll probably be back in some iteration. And, like, right now they're the 2 seed. If they lost to the Lakers... It's not like Denver, where if Memphis lost to the Lakers, I don't think people would be like, that's a fraudulent team. They'd probably say that's a young team that needs some growing up.
Weird year.
They maybe need to trade a player here or there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean Ja Morant's a loser. It doesn't mean Jaren Jackson Jr. is a loser. It doesn't mean Taylor Jenkins is a loser. It just means their team is not ready.
I agree.
So I don't think there's anything there. And Taylor Jenkins, I don't think there's any other player that deserves mention here. Do you?
No.
I mean, Dylan Brooks needs to at least have a good playoffs. He's done a lot of talk.
But he doesn't have that much to gain, man. Like, everybody knows what he is. Sacramento Kings. Oh, man. Who's the guy there? Collectively, I feel like there's something at stake, but is there a guy?
There's a guy that has a lot to gain.
Who?
And you mentioned him already. Mike Brown.
Should we just do the Kings collectively? I think we should make it the Kings collectively.
Yeah.
Kings collectively. What's at stake for them?
They're probably like a 6.
I'll go 7.
Yeah,
vote. It always takes you so 7. Long to find the numbers. There it is, 7.
I have to check against you guys.
Here's
first.
The thing. If they lose, I actually think they've played so well that if they lose in the first round, it will be a little damning because they have the Denver light thing going where it's like that style is they're soft and it doesn't actually work in the playoffs and this or that. And even though they've never been there, it still would like linger on them. You know what I mean?
That's actually interesting.
Yeah. So I do think that there's this level of like, they're always just going to be whatever if they lose in the first round. Whereas if they win a round or two and make it to the conference finals, I do just wonder if next year we enter the season with the Kings as this default top four team. Is it possible we enter the next year just going, Kings, one of the best teams in the West?
Yeah, definitely. The Kings are the 2018-2019 Nuggets. Like, that's exactly who they are. This young team, all offense, that hasn't proven themselves and has never made the playoffs. Nuggets were the two seed that year.
That's right.
And they went up against a veteran Spurs team. It took them a second to find their footing, and they ended up winning that playoff series. But I think the Kings this year, like the Nuggets that year, they're probably, you know, winning one round, and that's probably it, you know, at the most. You know, the Nuggets that year were very close to going to the conference finals, which people forget. But I think you'd have similar expectations and similar stuff at stake for the Kings.
If Sabonis balls out and they make the conference finals, are we due for a reexamination of his place in the league as a center?
I'll tell you what will happen is people will start the Sabonis Jokic conversation.
Who's actually better?
That will be a conversation.
I saw it on the timeline once already. Someone's like, dude, these two players are much closer in talent than everyone thinks.
That will happen. Like,
oh, man.
I mean, it's insane, but
it'll happen.
That will happen.
All right, let's go over to the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant.
I actually don't know.
Five.
Wow.
Yeah. Five.
Yeah, I don't know if he can really salvage or ruin.
Ooh, look
reputation.
At this one. We're all over the board.
If Kevin Durant wins, he joined another super team. He rode another team's coattails to the title.
Yeah, but he's a three-time champ, man. Not many of those.
Yeah,
rounds.
Three of the lamest titles of all time.
It's still,
if
wrong.
They lose, I mean, yeah, like you can just blame it on the fact that they came together at the trade deadline. They're this old team that gets hurt all the time. They have no depth. The excuses are there.
All right, here's the thing. If they win it this year, it's almost certainly because he played phenomenal. So let's just say he just had an incredible run.
Yeah.
Who's the favorite to win? Not knowing how free agency and the draft has gone, who's the favorite to win the next championship?
The Suns or the Bucks or the West, the Suns.
It's probably the Suns. Like, you just look at it and go, wow, they won this year where they threw together a team at a trade deadline and they won already. And by the way, KD missed the last 2 months of the season and they still won a title. They become favorites, and his, like, man, plug. What do people already say about him on the Suns? You know, is he the most you could plug him in on any team?
Plug and play superstar.
And then I'm just telling you, three-time champion, wins it multiple times, you know, whatever. I just think his legacy has a long ways to go up. I don't think there's a lot to go down, but I do think there's a lot to go. Well, if we look at the last 8 years, Kevin Durant's actually been the best player.
I don't know. God. I don't know if anyone is changing their minds on KD.
Really?
I think there are people who probably feel the way they feel about him.
If he wins a title this year, you don't think people will be forced, even
no,
the haters?
No, I think the haters would just double down on the same. Yeah, I'm sure he finally won, joining someone else's team again.
All right, Chris Paul.
14.
Yeah.
15.
I'd say 10.
10?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is Chris Paul's
last shot.
What
did you say, 10?
This is his last shot.
This is his last shot.
It's a full 10 for me, yeah.
If he doesn't win it this year, he's getting traded for Kyrie Irving and he's going to get like bought out or something and go
to the Lakers.
To the pasture.
to the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, if he wins a title, it's this year, man.
Chris Paul's on his last legs. This is his last shot.
Man.
And if they don't win this year, he's going to be the reason, or at least that'll be the narrative. And like, that'll be how he goes out. Yeah. Nearly getting to the top at the last hour with the Suns.
You will start to do a, like, let's look at all the guys Chris Paul's played with. James Harden, MVP year, Devin Booker. You'll start to list out. You're like, wow, he played with all the best players of a generation.
It's going to get really uncomfortable when Chris Paul is getting put in pick and roll every single possession and just getting targeted every time down the floor. That's going to be uncomfortable for everyone.
Devin Booker?
He's way lower. Maybe seven.
If he wins the title, is he the best shooting guard in basketball? Indisputably.
PHNX is already making that argument.
Yeah, he might already be.
I think, I actually think he has a lot to gain. Look, Devin Booker's an awesome player. I'm not sure he's a winner. And if you win, you knock that label off. Like, okay. And it's probably going to be because he was awesome. I just think Devin Booker right now is thought of as this like second or third tier star where everybody respects him a lot. You talk about the Tatum tier, he automatically becomes the Tatum tier. He's that good of a player. And then you go, well, yeah, but he also is a winner. And I just think he elevates pretty high.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's take our final break on the other side. A couple more teams to sprint through. And then, of course, we'll talk about Jokic and the Nuggets.
Who?
Guys, Game Time is the hottest new ticketing app that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals to ticket sports, concerts, and shows. If you've ever dreamed of sitting on the 50-yard line behind home plate, floor seats at a concert, you can do that with Game Time. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app. You can see it right there in the description. It's in the podcast description as well. Use that link when you buy tickets through Game Time or download the Game Time app. Check out Game Time. If you love DNVR, then you'll love Game Time. Also, Shady Rays. Shady Rays, we got hooked up with pairs of Shady Rays here at DNVR. Take on the sun with gear that's built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. This is a deal exclusive for DNVR listeners. Use the code DNVR, get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized Shady Rays sunglasses. You can use that code online or you can use it in store.
All righty, let's go back now. A couple more teams here. We'll try to rapid fire through. The Clippers collectively, I mean, we could just talk about their guys collectively. There's a report that just came out. Somebody tagged me in that sources familiar with or close to the Clippers think that Ty Lue is going to leave the team
at
the summer. I just look at that team and I'm like, I don't buy them at all. I can't believe everybody buys you. But it's weird that everybody on ESPN always tries to hype them up.
We're on the cycle three of are they actually the best team in the West?
But then you look at indicators where it's like the coach is trying to already fill out other jobs.
Oh, Ty Lue's miserable there.
They're miserable there. Everybody's miserable.
Where do we think Ty Lue's going?
Denver, maybe? We'll find
out. You're just... Why are we stirring so much shit today?
The Lakers?
What kind of a mood are we?
Oh, yeah. He's going to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't even have asked that question. Yeah.
Going to the Lakers. I don't know. Clippers, is there anybody here worth you saying that...
Freaking all of them.
You think it's a 10? The Clippers?
Well, except not Kawhi, but the rest
Kawhi
of them.
Already has one. All right, we'll do Clippers collectively. I do think there's... Actually, you know what? Nope, I'm changing it.
I'll say
I'm changing it. I'm changing it. I'm changing it. I'm changing it. Steve Ballmer.
I don't know. The Clippers collectively, 9.
All right, fine. It could be the Clippers. Yeah, Clippers. I'm just saying Steve Ballmer paid an enormous amount of money for no playoff success. Not even a championship, just like irrelevancy. Yeah. If they don't win this year, if they don't go to the conference finals, what was the best they ever did? The second round? Did they go to the conference finals?
No, they got to the conference finals,
1 year.
If they don't do something this year, there's going to be nobody sitting in that new arena and nobody using
Steve Ballmer
all those toilets.
I mean, all right.
But if they win one, then
there still might not be anybody.
Well, that's true. That if they win one, though, they're like the Lakers, an experiment that worked technically.
Yeah, listen, man, Paul George is one rough playoff run away from entering the worst trade of all time conversation. I'm serious. SGA and a boatload of picks to do this. They got to win something eventually. And Ty Lue, who's supposed to be the answer, not looking like an answer so far.
Paul George is going to win the Nuggets a championship one day. Hopefully it's their fourth championship.
It's my least favorite pipe dream. It's the worst pipe dream.
Is Paul Millsap era going to be in Denver? the Warriors... Let me put it this way. I don't think... Let's just go really quickly. I guess we'll say Steph Curry. I'm going to go...
Fucking...
I actually think this could be really high.
Once you start to think about it...
You're
10! Right.
You guys are...
Wait, what? He has nothing to lose, so automatically you can't say it's a 10.
He has more to gain, maybe, than of anybody.
This is why it's a 7, because the top part
okay.
is...
Okay, I don't understand this scale.
But. It's like odds, bro. You just get your takeout. It doesn't matter.
I don't get it. You know, Steph Curry wins a title this year. Like, he's untouchable. I mean, what is he? Top 5 player of all time if he wins it this year?
Guys to lead their team to 5 titles. Tim Duncan, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with Magic Johnson.
Jabbar.
Is there anybody else? Kobe Bryant.
Bill Russell.
Kobe Bryant.
Did you say that?
And then, well, then you're getting to the 60s. But if you just do the modern era, you're talking about the greatest of decades. And by the way, it breaks a tie with LeBron James. He becomes the winningest player during LeBron's era, which would be insane.
That dialogue is going to start. First of all,
wouldn't we just... Wouldn't it be a fair dialogue? It's not like it's a crazy dialogue. Baby? You would just say, hey, he won more.
What I'm saying is, even when the Warriors were getting the better of LeBron, I think if you straw polled people, 8 out of 10 basketball fans are saying, dude, it's still LeBron's the best player in the world. Look at the team he's playing with, yada, yada, yada. I'm saying all these years later, Steph gets another one. That's shakier ground to stand on than it's ever been, man.
This also feels like the last year.
This is the last dance.
I mean, they might keep Steph and Clay, and they might retain their core because they have Steph, but Draymond being gone would just make it feel like that era was over.
Right.
I don't know if there's anybody else. I don't want to do the Lakers. Timberwolves, Thunder, they're all there. So let's go to Jokic now. Nikola Jokic, what would you guys say in terms of most to gain, lose? How would you rate it?
I think a 10 if I know how this game works.
This is an easy one for me. Whoops. Isn't it?
Yeah.
This is why I thought of the game. This is why I wanted to do it this way. Is like all these other ones are like 10, 9, 8. Where are you? This one is an easy 10. Jokic wins a title this year. He's a top 15, 20 player all time. He's a two-time MVP with a championship. He proved all the doubters wrong. If they lose first or second round, in some ways, I don't think it should, but it will be more common than not to invalidate all of the things he did. That maybe we just got the voting wrong. Actually, these MVPs really were just the result of bad voting and bad narratives and everything else. I don't know that there's been too many times there's been a player with more to win or lose. LeBron, during his career, 2012, I think was in a similar zone. 2011, you could say, too, in 2012. There have been these little moments, these little sliding door moments, but I don't think there's been too many more than this.
Look at this scientific graphic.
I forgot Kale was keeping
track. We just counted the total scores. That is effing hilarious. I demand a recount on Chris Paul, by the way.
You got to take those numbers off, though. Nobody's got to know what they mean without context. Yeah.
Well, we all know what they mean.
No, I think it's better with the numbers. Yeah,
that actually makes sense looking at it that way.
On a scale of 15 to 30.
Oh God!
I can't believe Curry got 25. This doesn't make sense. How did we get him so high?
No, because he can
vault to a top five player of all time. We all know. Look, we've been waiting for this for the last like 16 months.
Yeah.
You know, we've been waiting for these playoffs. This is it. I mean, this is what we've been talking about endlessly on every one of these shows, in one way or another, forever. I'm like, this is when. This is going to be the first, like, I feel like, real tipping point of his legacy.
If he's to be one of those guys, you know, LeBron, even MJ, Giannis, there's a turning point. There's a very clear turning point moment. Giannis got it done in his year. LeBron, obviously, game 6 in Boston, we all remember just how much was at stake. Jokic on a national scale doesn't exist quite like those guys do, but for anyone who's invested in this, this is his Giannis year. This is the turning point where he can change the way he's looked at and talked about forever. Does he care? I don't know. But
he cares. I think Jokic really cares about winning.
About winning.
I think for him, it validates his own way.
From a competitor standpoint, I just mean the noise.
Well, we were debating this the other day with Eric because a couple weeks back during the Chicago game, he was asked about Christian Brown. He said, I think he's won something. Me, I've never won anything in my life, but I think I know what it takes.
Yeah.
We were trying to discuss whether we thought that was a good or bad quote from Jokic, meaning like one that you are excited about or one that you find a little concerning.
Right.
What, you weren't here for it. Where you vote?
I was.
You were here for it. Oh, you were here for that. Where do you land on it?
I liked it. I liked it. I don't think there was any concession in that statement.
I agree.
I think it was honesty, right? It was him catching himself. Like at any level, for as much as I've been heralded, I haven't won yet. I think I know. I feel pretty good about what it takes to get this done.
Mega was like the G League of Europe. So they weren't trying to win a championship. They were trying to develop players. And that's what he's getting at is like, I haven't gone through the ranks of where I won the high school level of Serbia.
Right,
and then I won the college level. And then I came here. He never was in position to win anything.
Well,
and then
it's also him saying that him winning the MVPs, he doesn't even consider that winning.
Right. And then... contrast that with a guy like Christian Brown, who will never, ever be in conversations like Jokic is, However, Christian Brown has won at every stop of his career.
High school, college, and now here he is.
I'm sure even going back to youth, I'm sure he won a rec league title somewhere.
Well,
so,
I'm sure LeBron did as well. I'm sure he, or I mean Jokic, I'm sure he won
But
the
so
lowest level levels.
I didn't think that that was a matter of fact statement. But again, like it's, I like that he thinks he knows what it takes, you know?
Dwight Howard, when he, like 2012 or something, said, I don't care what anyone says, I know I'm a champion. That's like the opposite of the Jokic quote, where it's like, no, you're literally not a champion. Yeah. There's, to win, be a champion, you have to win a championship. I think that was Jokic's way of saying, I think I know what it takes. I think I know. But I can't say I do until I do it. And it was this sort of like, that's what motivates me type thing, not a like, I'm a loser. I don't think he was saying I'm a loser. He was just saying I've never been a winner yet.
I think it was just an honest, just like clear-headed, humble quote from Nikola Jokic. I mean, he was just kind of telling it how it is. Nikola Jokic has never told a lie. Like that's just his frame of mind right now.
I don't think any player has more to gain or lose than Nikola Jokic from a narrative standpoint. I think he has the widest swing of any player in the NBA. I don't think that's a crazy take to have. Now, if he goes to the conference finals and loses in six games, that's to me is like the neutral, where nothing changed for him. Some people will still say he's not good enough. Some people say he is good. Whatever it is, that's the neutral where I don't think the swing happens. You lose in the first round. My God, that swings so hard that direction. So unfathomable.
The Nuggets lose in the first round. His entire career is a joke.
You lose in the second round even. I think that there's still a swing that way where it's like...
Second round, I agree.
You're, even if you lost to the Suns and the Suns go on to win a championship and you lose to them in seven games, it's still...
Totally.
They only made the second round and they're still this. But I just think that if they win a title, he goes into a two-time MVP with a championship, which there's like six of those guys in history.
Oh, and then we get to do, and listen, 10 years later, he probably should have won a third one.
Oh, but, yeah, and we get to do that. And it actually validates that he should have won or whatever. So to me, there's no question.
We can just consider him a three-time MVP. Yeah.
And even though we all think that the Nuggets have a window of opportunity that extends beyond this year, I still think the ramifications are going to be so strong. The same way they were for Dirk in 2006 when they lost, 2007 when they lost.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an alternate universe where the Mavs win in 2006, we'll say. And then maybe Dirk wins three championships because it just changes all these ripple effects or what have you. So I'm just saying, there's a lot at stake here for Jokic, and I actually do think number one.
The DNVR Nuggets podcast.
Infinity.
I've lost my 10.
Infinity.
It's down there.
I will not show up for work.
30.
First round exit, Brendan Vogt exit.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Buff's up next. Super Hit that chats. Like button on the super way. Oh, chats. We have a couple super chats. Let's rush through them here real quick. Nico says, Coach mentioned that he liked Murray with the second unit. Is he watching what we are watching? I don't get it.
Yeah, if you missed it, Malone after the game pretty much said that the second unit we saw last night is going to be the second unit he sticks with.
But there were two. Because he's changed the stagger.
Well, maybe that's what it is. It's half with Murray, half with him.
Oh,
with
KCP, okay. All right.
Ulysses Ventura says, never mind the MVP award. We smoke in that Sixers first round exit pack. R.I.P. Bozos.
That is maybe the best timeline possible. Nuggets, Jokic loses the MVP, wins the championship. Embiid wins the MVP, loses in the first round. That's brightest timeline.
I don't have that much hate in my heart. Eloy says, I mean, still
it's not hate. It's just like...
Just cosmic justice.
Yeah. It's just resentment.
Basketball gods instilling the...
Eloy says, still have room on that party bus? Yes, sir, we do. Hit the link in the description. We've also got it on Twitter, or you can find it on our Eventbrite page. Anywhere there. $20, going to be a good time. We want to see all you guys out there. It's going to be a great time. All right. Hit that like button. See you tomorrow.